All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be speaking with an individual who has an intriguing fight going at BFL 70. It's a bantamweight affair. December the 3rd is the date. We have Gio Platon and Austin Russell getting out there and testing skills with one another, and happy to be speaking to Austin right now. How's everything going with the training leading into this one here, man?
Oh, it's going good, man. Just back-to-back fight camps. Like, I feel good. Feel confident. I know, like, I'm going to be able to put on the shelf December 3rd.
Yeah, and do you like that? Because I was noticing there is the relatively quick turnaround between fights here. Like, is there a competitive benefit to that? Like, you feel a certain level of, like, you know, freshness, might as well get, like, a few competitive efforts under the belt, like that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think so. Like, back-to-back fight camps. It's a little, like, tiring, but, like, it's good that I'm still, like, in shape. And I'm still able to, like, keep the pace and keep, like, building and, like, getting better.
Yeah, no doubt. And there's probably that certain sense of wanting to, you know, capitalize on what's available right now, just the pandemic creating such a sense of uncertainty in the lives of pretty much everybody. So I imagine there's some component there where it's like you got to take advantage of what's available while it is available, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, with COVID, like, you never know, like, the event could cancel last minute. So, right, you just never know. And having that opportunity just to fight and get back in that cage again, like, and coming off that win, like, let's ride that momentum.
Yeah, and just the spacing between the fights, too. Obviously, the pandemic, as was mentioned, would be the big, you know, reason for all of that, the catalyst for there being that sort of dormant period there. But, you know, close to 2 years between the fights there and everything. Like, how did it feel getting back out there and competing? Was there a level of, I guess, having to readjust yourself when you were out there? Did it feel like a fluid, like, reintegrating yourself into the space? How would you characterize that, just the time off between those bouts?
Honestly, when I fought, it felt good. Like, I didn't really miss a step. I just don't really, like, believe in, like, ring rust, I would say. Like, I stayed consistent with my training, and I knew what I was getting into. So, like, going into that fight, I was just calm, you know, like, spirit, body, and mind. Like, I was 100% ready for that fight.
I guess it just speaks to the martial arts as a lifestyle kind of ethos that you seem to have from just even the research that I've done. Like, you don't strike me as a guy where it's like, oh, it's time for the fight camp, we got to get ready. Like, it's like a diligent, lifestyle minded kind of thing more so. Is that a fair characterization of how you approach the game?
Yeah, I would think so. I always, like, try to look at myself as, like, trying to become, like, one of, like, the greatest martial artists instead of, like the greatest, like, champ or something. You know, I'm always wanting to get better. Like, there's always room to get better. Like, being, like, stagnant and, like, staying still and being, like, comfortable, like, that's not for me. I know there's still lots of work to do, and I'm going to keep doing it to get better.
Yeah, well, it seems like that extends to a number of different aspects of your training preparations. Like, it seems like you have your core kind of base of operations you have yourself with, large in part. But then I was also seeing different instances over the years of, you know, cross-training with guys like, you know, Trevor Whitman, Justin Gaethje, Uriah Faber. So it seems like there's that confluence of the core regular gym and also getting in really, you know, high-level international looks in that kind of way.
Yeah, doing training with Whitman and, like, Alpha Male, and I even train a bit in TriStar, just getting different looks and, like, perspectives on, like, just people's approach is just, that's what really just gets me going. It's just how does their approach, you know, like, how, you know, and, like, then I can, like, mix and match and, like, take other people's, like, knowledge and kind of create into my own. So, like, all of this has been amazing.
Yeah, and it's just, I love martial arts in general. Like, I mean, you described it well there, where it's like you're taking from these different people what works for you, amalgamating into what you're doing, but also the coaching endeavors that you've been able to do as well there. Like, I was seeing through Ascendant Martial Arts that you'd worked with, you know, Samir Ali as an individual, like doing the cage side coaching and stuff like that. Like, how much does, I guess, that inform your overall technique and just growing yourself as a martial artist, being able to coach people and impart the technique you know to them?
Oh, honestly, I think it really benefits. I was really nervous coaching my guys because I've never done it before. But just having to see it, the fight, like cage side, just from like the coach's corner, was really eye opening. Like you can see a lot of more in detail things that you might miss, like in the fights. And like I'm just always just keeping notes and just following up on that, and like the benefits of coaching.
Yeah, and it seems like you've gotten in work at a couple different gyms over the years. Like I mentioned Ascendant Martial Arts there, but also in an old Hard Knocks bio I was seeing there, it seemed like Queen City Martial Arts was another place you were getting in work at, but also Champions Creed MMA seemed like another space you were getting in at. So that's awesome to see such like a vibrant scene in like the Western Canada kind of space, and as far as like different gyms and all that.
Yeah, I'm always just trying to like explore like options to like learn like how can I excel, how can I become better than who I was like yesterday, and like training over at Champions Creed, like that really took my game to a whole nother level, and like I give them like all like the credit where credit's due. Like they really helped me get me prepared for my last fight.
Yeah, I saw that photo of you working with Chad and Helliger. Is that someone you're also working with in this particular camp? And if the preparation is a little different, like who are some of the other people that are part of that?
For this fight camp, it's all done at home with like the quick like turnaround of getting another fight. I just couldn't really find like the time with like work to schedule like another trip out to Calgary. But none of the training's really changed back home. I'm still going to get the same results.
No, fair enough, man. And, you know, to that point, like, what is work for you, if you don't mind me asking? Like, what's the day job that you, you know, have to keep the bills paid for pursuing the fight dream?
Well, I work at Ranch Arlo, and it's just, I'm a youth care worker, so I work with, like, kids, like, from, like, all ages, from, like, 5 to, like, 18. And, like, I don't want to say, like, they're like bad kids, like all this has been like in troubled situations. So like as like a youth care worker, we have to do our best to just like obviously attend to their needs and like help them like and like show them like, hey, there are like better options than like always like resorting to like that fight or flight system, right? There's other ways we can work things out and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I do. And I'm stuck on night shifts for that job. So I work night shifts.
Well, it sounds like an awesome job just helping out kids who are in like disadvantaged, like unfortunate kind of situations almost. Like to that point, has anyone from the day job ever gotten involved in martial arts? Because that seems like a common thing with certain people at least. Like maybe they were in like a problematic kind of situation in their upbringing, and then the discipline and routine of martial arts kind of got them out of that, just having the structure and everything. Is there any kind of overlap between your job and the martial arts, or perhaps not so much?
I want to say not so much. I do like try to encourage like other like children to like try it. Like obviously not in a way that like influence them to like use it in like a violence for like their benefit. Just like show them like, hey, this is good for like self-defense. If we're put in this situation, like we can, there are different ways you can get out of it, right? And all that kind of stuff. But With my schedule's work, it works out fine. Like I'm able to do what I gotta do and still make it in time from training. So it's a good balance.
Yeah, and it seems like you know, balance things out well in like the competitive refinement kind of sense. Like I was seeing a couple of years back, it looked like the Deerfoot Inn and Casino, you were engaging in a Muay Thai bout there, and seems like the jiu-jitsu endeavors, you keep sharp there. Like I was seeing in the bio there on Instagram, you have the BJJ purple belt. So how important is it to have those different, you know, competition efforts in the isolated disciplines as a means of growing the overall MMA game? Like obviously there's certain things that don't cross over. Like for instance, I guess some positions in jiu-jitsu whereby you'd be open to strikes if you tried it out in MMA. But just in a broad sense, how beneficial is it to get the experience in those isolated disciplines just to galvanize what you have as an MMA fighter?
I think it really, like, benefits. Like, from my Muay Thai fights I had a couple ways back, like, even, like, during the fights, like, I was still I was still, like, going over, like, motions for, like, MMA. Like, I would see, like, an opening for a takedown, like, in, like, real time. So, like, even though I would never go for, like, a takedown in a Muay Thai fight, I would see, like, in that opening, like, hey, that specific moment where you threw a punch, I probably could have went for a takedown. So, I'll remember that. So, when I actually get to what my main focus is, which is MMA, like, that little, like, piece of information I took then, I'll apply into MMA right now, and then I can start working and building. So, like, yeah, like, isolated, like, sports, like, even, like, jiu-jitsu, I've done jiu-jitsu tournaments, even, like, wrestling, like, I will find a way that can benefit that towards my MMA.
Yeah, and you mentioned the last fight a bit earlier, but I wanted to, you know, kind of talk about it a bit before we get into the next one there. Because on social media, you seem fired up about it. You described it as a ninja choke, which I think Tapology missed the mark a little bit on putting that as the official name for the sub there. But just what did you think about the finish there? Because from my, I guess, layman perspective, it seemed like one of the more, I guess, consummate performances you could have hoped to have. But, like, how would you assess the performance in that last go-around?
I think I did good. I know I can do a lot better. There's definitely, like, some mental notes that I've made after that fight that I can improve on. But the game plan going in was not even to grapple or do anything with him, because I knew coming in he was strong. He was going to have a strong wrestling base, and he did a really good job on implementing his game plan and just initiating the grappling. And the whole time I was just had to be patient, just countering his shots. I knew my opportunity would be there, and when I saw he left his head a little bit too low, I was able to slide on that ninja choke, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and a great broadcast platform for it to be taking place on in UFC Fight Pass. I imagine a lot of eyeballs were keeping that one there. Like, are you an individual who, I guess, draws a certain amount of, like, compounded inspiration, motivation, however you want to say, from that? Like, I've also talked to certain fighters who they're just, you know, so squarely focused on the task at hand. Like, it's like they could be having their fight broadcast on a local, like, Rogers TV station for all they care. Like, where do you sit on the broadcast platform? Is that kind of a cool look or largely inconsequential?
It's like in between. Like, it's really awesome that I'm given an opportunity to fight on, like, Fight Pass, and I know it's, like, a really big thing, but at the end of the day, like, I just make sure it doesn't really, like, throw me off my game, because I just know, like, it's still a fight, right? I know, like, all the crowd and the hype, they're not in the cage with me, it's just me and my opponent. So, like, that's when I hear that door to cage close, like, that's when I know, like, nothing else matters, it's just it's time to be present.
Yeah, and to the point of, you know, being present, but also looking at, like, the slightly immediate future, this upcoming fight at BFL 70 and whatnot. It seems like a very intriguing card in a lot of regards, just with this being positioned in the co-feature, and then in the main event, there's the championship fight going on, and, you know, Gio Platon in his last fight was contending for that same championship. Like, has the promotion communicated to you if this is, like, a title eliminator of any sort, or maybe not so much? Because that's kind of the inference I'm making, just following the landscape and the scene and all that.
I haven't really heard anything or, like, any talk from, like, BFL or between, like, my coach and them. We're just taking it one fight at a time, and, like, I know if I just keep training hard and getting the results, like, I'll know I'll be there in a title, like, sooner than later.
Yeah, well, all signs pointing to that. It looks like you got pretty good placement on the fight poster, and, like I said, the, you know, proximity with the main event title and all that. But I mentioned your opponent, Jericho Platon, in there, and, you know, a couple victories under the BFL banner at first, a couple finishes, had a, you know, relatively closely contested bout with Siri City that ended, you know, kind of earlier on in the bout, looking to rebound from that initial pro loss there. Like, what are your thoughts on, I guess, his main stylistic proclivities, like the big tools he brings to the table as an opponent?
Definitely is striking. His intensity, as soon as, like, the fight starts, he gets after it, and, like, it's definitely a good success, and he even had that in his title fight against Surrey. So, like, his approach, like, I'm definitely well aware of it. Me and my coach are doing the right things to prepare for it, but his striking is definitely going to be a big thing. And, like, from his last fights, like, he's got power. So, like, it's definitely something I do respect and I will be aware of, but I'll still be able to get my hand raised.
Yeah, it's a very intriguing fight and been fun to follow your career for a decent little bit now. Like, I think the first time I'd seen you was at that XFFC 17 event. I was doing a recap for, you know, MMA Torch at the time I was contributing to, and that was when you had your Gray Patino fight there. It was like a very closely contested sort of bout, and it seemed like you guys were fairly intense after the fight too and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been fun to, you know, see the progression and everything like that. I imagine there's enormous changes since that, you know, excessive force effort you had there.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. And yeah, like every fight I have, win or lose, like I always like learn from it. Like, I know, like, even the fights like I do win, there are like little mistakes I've made in that fight that easily could have been fixed. So like, I'm always just trying to get better, trying to improve.
And usually when I have fighters on, I'm curious as to like what music they're partial to training to. I've also talked to some fighters where it's like, ah, whoever grabs the aux cord, I'm kind of fine with whatever. Like, do you have certain genres of music or particular artists that you gravitate towards when you're training? Like maybe something akin to something you'd hear on Summer of Sound or something like that?
Usually, like, whoever's on aux, I'm okay with it. Like, I enjoy, like, lots of music. But, like, personally, like, when I'm have my headphones in and, like, I'm doing my own thing, like, it's usually just rap and, like, EDM. EDM usually gets me going.
Yeah, because I think I'd seen a post you had there, summer 2019, where you got to go to your first rave and stuff like that. Is that something you could entertain doing in 2022, just with concerts seemingly returning back to the fold? Like, would you like to get back out there with the lads and check out a concert, another festival kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I first went to that rave, like, it was one of, like, the best experiences I've ever had, and ever since, me and my boys have been trying to get back out there, but with COVID and everything, so like, we're just patiently waiting.
Yeah,
we'll be back out there.
Yeah, it's all you can do, man. I definitely feel that sentiment, but you've been really good with your time, Austin. I want to be mindful of the rest of your schedule, though, so to that point, is there maybe anything you want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping things up here, man?
No, I think we're good. Like, thank you so much for this interview. Like, I really appreciate it. Like, and thank you for like following me for like so long. I've never even like known you've like been keeping track since like I fought like Gray Patino. Like that, like that really means a lot. Like, thank you.
No, it's awesome. I mean, even from my perspectives, it's interesting too, because it doesn't seem like I've been covering the sport for like super long necessarily, but then I kind of look at the broader scope of things like that, just setting up for this interview, and I'm like, oh yeah, I did see Austin fight back in the day a little bit. So yeah, it was fun from my perspective to see that too, man.
Oh, hello. I think I might have lost you there.
Oh yeah, no, I was just saying that it was a fun sort of thing from my perspective to see. Like, it's like, oh yeah, I guess I have seen Austin fight before, and just kind of combing back and doing the research. So yeah, it's fun, man. But yeah, looking forward to this fight coming up here at BFL 70, and looking forward to peeping the fight. And yeah, thanks so much for the time. Hopefully you enjoy the rest of your day, and best of luck in the final stretch of the preparations here, Austin.
I will. Thank you so much.